the line between success and failure was razor thin. I mean, we went from being, you know, I personally went from being a fool to a genius in like, you know, in a split second.
In today's episode of the Office Space Podcast, I talk with Ralph Zucker, the CEO of Somerset Development and the person behind the ambitious project known as Bellworks. A self-described metroburb, Bellworks is the reimagination of the historic former Bell Labs building in Holmdel, New Jersey. Today, the building is a one-of-a-kind destination for business and culture, complete with a blossoming ecosystem of technology, traditional offices, retail, dining, hospitality, and much more. Bellworks 2.0 is located in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, and is gaining traction. Ralph talks about the early days of the original Bellworks and why he believes the success of that project will be replicated in the suburbs of Chicago. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So, Ralph, I'm going to start with you. What was your inspiration for the original Bellworks project in New Jersey?
Well, goes back quite a while. I started developing new urbanist communities, walkable, human-centric, focused more on, you know, people who live in communities rather than on the automobile, the garbage truck, and the fire truck and all that. So very, very focused on designing places for people. And a broker brought me into the old Bell Labs building in Holmdel, New Jersey. 2 million square feet, vacant, had been vacated a few years earlier, one security guard, overgrown with weeds and everything leaking and really fallen into disrepair. Great building. But when you walk down and you see this Aero Saarinen design, just this huge center walkway right down the middle between these four buildings that were anchored all enclosed in one big glass box. It just hit me that this is an amazing place for people to come together, to work, to live, to play, everything. So that was the inspiration. It just was like that, a flash.
And what year was that?
That was in 2008, maybe end of 07, beginning of 08.
Okay. And how long did it take you to turn that vision into, you know, the first anchor tenant?
Yeah, well, too long. We went to contract in 08, middle of 08, literally as, you know, the real estate world was sort of stopped spinning. The last limousines were pulling out of Lehman Brothers, and we signed a contract to buy the largest vacant office building in the United States. So a little bit counterintuitive. The only good thing is that the contract was subject to our vision being entitled, getting the zoning change, redevelopment plan. That took 5 years. So we were contract purchasers for 5 years with Alcatel-Lucent until we got all the entitlements and approvals and zoning, everything we needed to turn Bell Labs into Bellworks. Then it took us about 2 more years to sort of hit our stride. And in about 2015 is when our leasing really started picking up.
And what were some of the, you know, tenants that were coming in originally?
Well, our first tenant was a local real estate broker who took 1,200 feet. He needed a place to hang a shingle. I remember he brought in this really ugly couch, and we were all about design and aesthetics and branding, and we begged him to get rid of the couch. We wouldn't, so we had to buy him a cover for it. But it was 1,200 feet, and I remember signing a lease for 1,200 feet and being pretty nervous that I just committed to keeping a 2 million square foot building alive for 5 years for 1,200 square foot lease. That was, of course, way below market. The earlier tenants, we really had to gut rehab the entire atrium, replace the glass, skylights. There was a lot of work that had to be done. We still had a problem with people envisioning what it looked like. So we created these 7 pre-designed, pre-built offices sort of as a model. And now we call them ready to wear. We leased them up as soon as we could build them. But that was our, and so our first tenants really gathered around those small 1,000 to 1,200, maybe 2,000 square foot offices. We leased those out slowly. And then from there, we sort of jumped to a 20,000 square foot lease. Tara, you did the leasing, so you probably remember the names better than me, but we had a telecom tenant. Was it Acacia?
Acacia came in 2016 is when they signed, and they expanded in 20.
So they came in about 20,000 feet. They were, I think, our first larger deal. You know, then sort of leapfrogged all the way to like a 72,000 square foot deal with WorkWave. And then we got into iSIMS, which was 350,000 square feet. Guardian Life, 92,000 feet.
And what was kind of proof of concept, and, you know, they saw tenants coming in, or was there something happening in the market that made the project click?
So the market when we started, the market was actually pretty, we were in a marketplace that was close to 30% oversupplied. There was like a 30% vacancy level. And Bell Labs in New Jersey was in the middle of almost nowhere. I mean, not seen from any highway, bucolic Homedale, New Jersey, Colts Neck area, very, very, you know, horse country. And actually the reason they picked this location, you know, in 1960, was because, you know, for all their experimentation, everything they needed to be away from everybody else. So here we were in this isolated capsule, this place. A lot of people came in and they said, great idea, it's never going to happen, have a great day, and turned around and walked out. As a matter of fact, our largest tenant, iSIMS, they came in, they, you know, the Colin Day, the president or CEO, had a history, had worked in Bell Labs at one point in time. He knew the building. He loved the vision, but they walked out and leased somewhere else because they really didn't think we could pull it off. And that was a typical reaction. So the concept was very much embraced, but the market and everybody bet against us. As little by little, we used to say crawl, walk, run. And we were crawling. And as we crawled, people started to begin to see, oh, this could actually happen. And our first coffee shop opened up. And our first tenants really weren't even leases. It was people hanging out. We put some couches. I went to the design team. I said, you know, just decorate, just furnish this small little cafe area here. And we put Keurig machines there just to give people free coffee. And we'd buy donuts in the morning and throw them out at night and or give them away. And that was really we started with just creating a little place for people to gather. And if you think of this huge, we're now 1.2 million square foot of just net office. And we're like 97% leased, and it all started on a couch.
That's great. It's like the equivalent of, you know, Hewlett Packard starting in the garage, right?
Right. That's right.
You touched on something earlier that I think is interesting. I recently represented a tenant that we put into the Beltworks in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. And on the first tour, there was a very visceral effect. Half the group said, this is amazing. And the other half didn't know what to make of it. Just didn't know what to make with it. And it actually didn't make the shortlist originally. And this is part, you know, kudos to Tara, her team, the Colliers leasing team. They pushed on it. We brought them back. And after seeing what was in the market, there was nothing like it. I think your team, you know, Jack Aber in particular, did a very good job just talking about ownership, being hands-on, the vision. And you could see it develop. Every time we went back, it was a different activation. You know, that's not an easy assignment to convince people. I can only imagine what it's like convincing people with nothing there.
It was almost impossible. And I'll tell you, you know, the line between success and failure was razor thin. I mean, we went from being, you know, I personally went from being a fool to a genius in like, you know, in a split second. At one point it was like, this is never going to happen. And I said, wow, you know, how did you think of this? Like you asked before. And really, you know, I think people sense the passion that we have. You know, they realize that we're really, really committed to getting this done. The early adopters really took a big step. I mean, even when, you know, when WorkWave and iSIMS came in and we were negotiating both of those contracts pretty much at the same time, the building was largely vacant. I mean, we had some successes and everything, but you're talking about this huge building that, you know, until they came, they knew there was not going to be that much here, even if we'd already signed a few hundred thousand square feet. But there was a hunger for, you know, a great place to work. And our entire concept, which we, you know, we said we got to call it a name. If we can't just, you know, we're not a suburban office. You know, and I wanted to be sure that when I sat down with lenders, they wouldn't be saying, "Oh, suburban office, it's an 8 cap." You know, I wanted a more compressed cap rate on that as well. So we knew we're creating a new genre of suburban office, and we decided to call it a metroburb, a metropolis in suburbia, and that resonated very well with people. They got it. You had people who were driving in, you know, these bedroom communities around Manhattan, driving in an hour and a half, sitting in those tunnels, paying those tolls, riding those ferries or trains or whatever it is to go back and forth just to work in a place where you have some life. Well, we brought the life to them. And everybody understood that. It's not a difficult concept. The question was, can we pull it off? When we came later on, you know, where you were mentioning where you came with your client, we came to Hoffman Estates, the proof of concept was there already. We had been successful. We were actually recruited by Hoffman Estates to come to the old Ameritech AT&T building. So that, yes, it's still difficult, but it was a lot easier to get our first tenants on, you know, Bellworks 2.0 than it was the first time.
Right. You mentioned Hoffman Estates, so we're going to switch to the Hoffman Estates project now. You know, great success in Homedale, 97% occupancy, and certainly on your way there for Hoffman. How important has it been to get the community involved? You know, Kevin Kramer, the economic development, the village of Hoffman. I know you got a large TIF. I mean, how important is it to get the community involved in this project?
You can't do it without the community. The community is everything. We look at a lot of projects come our way because of our success. You know, we're pretty well renowned for what we've done, and almost a week doesn't go by that we don't have some, you know, somebody, you know, calling or emailing or knocking on our door and saying, "I have another Bellworks for you." But one of the filters that we use is the political filter, the community filter. Do they really want this? Because life's too short to go. You know, we spent 5 years in the Bellworks in New Jersey just to get the entitlements. Now, to the credit or understanding of the community that we're in, we didn't know what we were doing either. We knew we were setting to create something great, but we didn't have all the details worked out. It evolved as we went. And although we're very true to the form and the formula, but the details took a lot of time to flesh out, and it took many years. When we came to Hoffman Estates, because they were behind it, and they said, "This is what we want." They came to New Jersey. They came here. They looked at it. They came to us and they said, "We like what you've done. You should do this again." We went to them and we said, "You know, we can't do it unless we get certain things. The zoning has to be changed to allow for residential, because we need a residential presence. It has to be a 24/7 eyes on the street type of thing." And they were very agreeable. I remember we gave them the number 550 residential units, and they said, we will do that. And when we closed on the building, our zoning was already in place. Their ability to put retail, multi-tenants. So the community is everything, but that's only part of the story. Today, there's so many roadblocks and speed bumps and things that happen. The ability to have a community that's solidly behind you, that works with you and understands that, you know, this is not, you know, just from a, you know, we get the attention, you know, sometimes you get stuck in a community that's not that interested and you're waiting for your approvals. And there's somebody who's trying to get their backyard fence changed from a 4-foot fence to a 6-foot fence. And it takes 3 months and you're behind that. We've got all the attention that we need. The mayor's entire team has been great. They've just been working with us. We have partners. And of course you mentioned the TIF. Without the TIF, we would not have done it.
Sure. Did I read recently as far as the residential, that's fully vetted and moving forward?
So the residential, we have the zoning for the first for 550 townhomes and apartments. We fully entitled the first 164. So we already have site plan approval. We have a few details that we still have to iron out, like when does this get done? When does that get done? We're literally within a few months of shovels in the ground.
Great. Tara, what's the leasing activity been like, and what kind of tenants are you seeing coming through? Oh, we're having some technical difficulties with Tara, so I'm going to switch back to Ralph. Sorry. We'll do a separate interview with Tara. So health and wellness are important as part of the concept. What sort of things are incorporated into Bellworks to accommodate that?
Sure. And by the way, I'll leave this for Tara to give you details, but on the question of the leasing activity, it's amazingly robust, as I'm sure you know, because you've brought people through. We have about 200,000 square feet of very active LOIs, contract lease negotiations, RFPs, things like that. We really, really have, we're super excited. As a matter of fact, we had a meeting the other day with Steve Kling and Tara and the brokerage team, Daryl. And then I had to report back to my partners that I have a good problem. And that is that we probably have to start, you know, we have the east side and the west side. We fully built out the east side. We may have to accelerate our plans to build out the west side. That's shocking in a good way in a market that you have today. We have a soft market. But we've always been believers that although a market may be soft, but if you provide an amazing place for people to come together, whether it's to work, live, whatever it is, you will have more demand than you can supply. And that's what we're seeing. We're really seeing, especially now. And, you know, Doug, as you mentioned, you know, you come in and you see every time you see more and more life. It's becoming easier and easier and easier. People come in. And we don't have to spend 4 hours to explain it to them. They just get it. You walk in today and you understand exactly what's going on. And like you say, that's probably why your old client went ahead and signed the lease with us. So that is in a market that's losing tenants. And I hate to say this, but a lot of the buildings are losing their tenants to Bellworks Chicagoland. You know, another thing that I would mention in New Jersey, post-COVID, and it's counterintuitive, but if you see what's going on, our leasing rates shot up. We've signed leases here pre-COVID. I don't think we've done anything, you know, over the low 30s, and we've done leases in $50 a foot in New Jersey. We're going to start seeing that soon, as you know, we start jockeying for positions and who could fit where in Hoffman Estates and Bellworks Chicagoland. Hopefully, that's for us. That's what's going to happen as well. Now to your question about health and wellness and things like that. Crucial. That's one of the main things. You know, you talk about health and it's physical, it's emotional. All of these things come together by providing a great, inspiring place for people. It's walkable. We're as large as some of the largest skyscrapers in the country, but we're only three to four stories tall in Chicagoland and in New Jersey. Where we're 5 to 6. Everything is walkable. Everything is spread out. There's huge, so much just physically to get around. You have open space. Our design team has focused on biophilic design. You see these trees that we brought in to bring not just atmosphere, but actually fit to provide fresh air and clean air in the building. The building itself, both Bellworks, the amount of clean air turns that we're able to do, you know, cycle the fresh air in and out of the building. All of these things are very health centric and appreciated by our community. We also have a tremendous health club in Chicagoland. It's 30,000 square foot. It's up and running. It's professionally run by, we call it Fit Lab, fully built out, run by Kinma Fitness, best in class. We have another IT Gym, which is a privately owned tenant that's there. And I think we're going to have a few more to come. So health and wellness is a big part of it. What we've seen in New Jersey, and we hope to see in Chicagoland soon, we have an entire medical wing. We have everything from physical therapy, acupuncture. You could do cryogenics, oxygen inhaling, who knows what. There's a medical, literally doctors. And I get my teeth done downstairs. You know, there's a dentist. So that's also part of the Metroburg. Bringing all of that together is something that we've done and we're doing in both locations.
And I think that all of that resonates well with tenants, especially tenants that care about the employee experience. Not everyone does. Yeah, they're back office where you can, you know, do cheaper deals and you can pack them in. But your project definitely addresses what I would consider the current needs of the tenants. And frankly, it's the only project in the Northwest suburbs that I think has what the downtown Chicago market has, which is the most over-amenitized market in the country, I think. Ironically, I don't know if you're familiar, there's a new Bell in town, 225 West Randolph in downtown Chicago. It's being rebranded as the Bell, and it is a old Bell building that has been a this great location, sizable floor plates. They actually got a Class L designation because of the architecture, so they're able to make the numbers work, and they're going to create a downtown Bell, if you will. The reason I bring that up is obviously the Bell connection, but they're doing a two-story amenity package with possibly pickleball courts and everything like that. So that fight for amenities and the tenant experience is huge, and you guys have clearly addressed it. It's great.
You know, if I could jump on that for a second, and you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. We're actually in both Bell Works. We're engaged with our architects and engineers to bring pickleball into both locations. We think it's clearly something that, and we have the space for it. What I like to say is that the ultimate amenity is life itself. You know, what we find is that amenities are important, but the amenities should always be part of the larger community. For example, if you come to FitLab, it's not just a tenant amenity. FitLab is run by Kinma Fitness, but half of our members, we have over 300 members already, over half of them are from outside. They're not tenants. They're just people who come in to work out, to be part of the health club, and that's going to grow. We're inches away from opening up our fairgrounds, World's Fair, cafe and bar and restaurant and everything. That was not put internal. That's put at the corner outside, right when you walk into Bell Works on the east entrance with an outdoor patio, because that's designed to be bring the outside in. If you come to Bell Works, you do not need a security pass. You don't need an invitation. The security guards, although we have security, they will not ask you, who are you here to see? You're free to walk around on the main pedestrian level all you want, 6 a.m. to 12 o'clock at night in New Jersey, and soon the same thing in Bell Works, Chicagoland. So all these amenities are great. If the people from the Bell and downtown Chicago are listening, I would say keep it open to the public, and then you really have a thriving Bell Works-like model.
Well, I know they're doing tenant turnstiles, so they will not.
So then it's not a Bell Works.
It's definitely not a Bell Works, just by name. A couple more questions here. I know we're getting close to the end. You chose to be in the two heaviest taxed states in the country. Now, obviously, you've got some relief with the TIF and everything, but I mean, taxes aren't going down. What are your thoughts on that particular issue?
So I would say that it's a loaded question. We didn't choose to be in the two most heavily taxed states in the country. I think the opportunities of these large vacant stranded assets presented themselves to us in many reasons, because they are so heavily taxed. I think one of the reasons that these properties were driven to obsolescence was and is because of the heavy tax burden that just doesn't allow enough room. You know, if you're paying a third of your income or more in taxes, there's just no way to really be a Class A exciting place. So we basically picked up these buildings for nothing. They were, you know, that because of the tax burden, they had no value. If you have to build something like this from the ground up, you can't do it. So we would love to do this in a low tax state, always looking. The opportunities are much harder to find because the buildings aren't driven to vacancy.
Yeah, that makes sense. So capping this off, any predictions for the general office market, kind of broad and then maybe regional?
Sure. So I think what's going on all across the country, and definitely in the Chicago land market, same thing in the New Jersey market. And it's interesting. It's nice to look back on some things you said, you know, a year ago and 6 months ago and see it come true. So we've been on record as saying that the C and the B minus buildings are going to go away. People are going to leave them, as there's no reason to work from an office unless it's an inspiring place. I need to want to come to the office. So you can't force your employees anymore to do anything. So why would I want to come to a boring, mind-numbing suburban C, B-minus building? Those buildings are being shuttered. Those buildings are being repurposed as warehousing, as residential, things like that. I mean, there's always a deal to be made. Some of those, not every one of those will disappear. But what we're seeing is a flight to quality. We're seeing it already. I'm sure you're seeing it. And you'll see a lot more of that. The inspiring places, places like Bellworks, places like the Bell that you mentioned, places where people want to come to work, are going to actually do better. My prediction is that we'll see a larger demand for, because there are not that many of us, a larger demand for that. People will be willing to pay a little bit more. It's simply the numbers. It used to take 100. We have tenants that used to be in 100,000 feet. Now they're in 20,000 feet. They're willing to pay a little more for that 20,000 square foot of quality space that the people come 2-3 times a week to collaborate, ideate, cross-pollinate, sort of get inspired from each other, then go home to their kitchen table and get their work done. They're spending a lot less overall on their real estate. They're paying a little bit more per square foot. That's allowing landlords like us, developers like us, to deliver really great spaces.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with everything you said. Appreciate your time, Ralph. And Tara, we'll get you on a separate one. But we look forward to seeing the success of Bellworks Hoffman Estates. And I'll have links to videos and the Bellworks project on the show notes. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate your interest, and bring us more tenants.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care.